This is The State of Things. I'm Melinda Pencava. So what happens when you mix old-timey banjo music with lyrics in Chinese? That's Abigail Washburn singing and playing banjo on the title track from her new CD. It's called Song of the Traveling Daughter. She's playing banjo there and singing in Chinese, and she is here in the studio with us today. Welcome, Abigail.
Hi, Melinda.
Hi. Well, the title song, Song of the Traveling Daughter, I don't speak Chinese, so I don't know what's being said there. What is this about?
This song is, actually, it's based on an old poem written by Meng Jiao in the 8th century, and his poem was called Song of the Traveling Son, and I just got the idea for the title from it, actually. It was the first song I wrote in Chinese, and I was wondering to myself, how am I going to write a song in Chinese? And so I went and pulled out a bunch of classical poetry books, and that was the first poem I opened to, and I said, well, let's use that as a start. And then I started thinking to myself, well, the Song of the Traveling Son is about this theme of sort of filial piety and obligation to parents and how to return the love that you can never actually fully pay back. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking to myself, what would the Song of the Traveling Daughter here and now be about, you know? And so what came to me was the sense of freedom and faith, and the sense that, like, the first verse is, Men wai you ge shi jie, xin zhong you ge sheng yin, si fang deng ni lai ya, you nu, you nu. And that means, Men wai you ge shi jie, outside the door, the world is waiting for you. In your heart, you hear a voice, you hear the voice, and the four corners of the world beckon you. Travel, daughter, travel. You know, it's not really travel like, hey, get on a tour boat and, you know, go across France. It's more like go where you need to go. Follow that heart, you know, that heart voice.
So you were inspired by this poem, but then you made adjustments to it for the traveling daughter.
I did. And definitely a theme that kept coming to me as I was working on the song was all of the Chinese girls that are being adopted nowadays here in the United States, and how there's quite a large population of young Chinese girls who are being raised in American families right now. And anyway, that theme kept coming to me as well. So.
Now, you are not Chinese yourself by ethnic background
I'm
or
not.
By nationality. So how did you come to sing in Chinese and meld it with banjo playing?
The Chinese came first.
Oh.
So that's the most important factoid here. But I at the Colorado College, after my freshman year, which was back in 96, I guess it was, I was wondering to myself, what am I going to be? What am I going to do? You know, everybody seemed figuring out, oh, psychology, that's my thing. And, you know, biology and ecology. And I was one of those students that just wasn't fitting into the right department. So I went on this summer trip to China to study Chinese, and it was partly funded by an alumni to try and encourage young women to learn Chinese because she thought there would be a great future there. And so I went on the trip, and it was a very difficult trip, very difficult trip. I came back and I sort of swore the country off because I thought to myself, I'm this American in this country, and I felt very much like I was a symbol of wealth opportunity, and I felt like it was really, really hard to connect intimately with any Chinese people, and especially not knowing the language. So I was sort of like, wow, this is just an uphill battle to feel like genuinely connected to this country. You know, felt like if I kept engaging the country, I'd always feel like a foreigner, you know. Mm-hmm. And not that I don't feel like a foreigner now, but it's been an incredibly important journey. And when I came back from that trip, I thought, you know, I'm swearing it off. But within 4 days, 5 days, I don't know what it was, I was planning my next trip back. And I really wanted to get to the bottom of how I could feel intimately connected to the culture. And I kept going back and going back. And I think it was through the process of continually studying another culture that I started wondering to myself, what's American culture all about? And it sort of was you know, the banjo and Appalachian music and American
music. So it was a quick
music.
Step to the banjo.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, I came back wondering, what is the richness of American culture? What is it that America really, you know, what is beautiful about America to me? And I got to say, you know, a man from here in North Carolina, Doc Watson, I heard him playing the banjo and singing Shady Grove on an old LP from the 70s. And I thought to myself, now that's soul, that is beauty. And that's I heard America in it. And I wanted to get closer to that. So.
And so what you've done now is you've merged these two. And you have your banjo with you here. And
I
was wondering if you might give us one more song in Chinese.
Sure. Do you want a whole song, or do you just want
or at least part of one?
Okay,
yeah, sure,
yeah,
sure.
Now, this one is called Journey Home, and it's about returning to the ultimate love. Like, no matter where you are in the world, that one love that's always there with you.
Abigail Washburn here on The State of Things, and that's from her latest CD, Song of the Traveling Daughter. It's called Journey, and in Chinese. It doesn't sound like that much of a stretch when you hear that, because one thinks of string music with Chinese lyrics normally, correct? So
yeah,
so it's not that much of a stretch to hear an American banjo.
It's just not. I feel like the more I'm learning about the two folk cultures and folk cultures around the world in general, there tends to be these instruments that have similarities, because people use the things of the earth to make the original folk instruments, and the banjo seems to be one of the instruments that has stayed fairly close to. It's wooden, and it uses a fiber skin head that's supposed to sound like a skin of an animal, and I mean, all of these things given, it's there are actually instruments in China that sound very similar, you know. It's just our sort of our language and our cultural gap that keeps it from, you know, sounding the same, I suppose.
Did I read correctly that you said, speaking of language, that it's actually easier, it's less of a challenge to write songs in Chinese because more things rhyme than they do in English?
Yeah, in terms of the actual words themselves sounding good together, that's true. But I would say in terms of, you know, concepts and themes and lyrical themes, it's certainly not easier. But I think music, Chinese just sort of sings itself off the tongue because of all the open vowels at the end of words. It sort of rings. It continues to resonate. Whereas the English language, we have a lot of closed words where it's like morph. You know, it's over, you know, it's like the end of the word, you know.
What's wrong with morph? and we're talking about the tradition here, but there's actually a bit of the modern world interceding here in that at least one of the songs, if not a couple of them here, are have something to do with TV reality shows.
Oh, yes. Okay. Actually, the way that I got involved in writing songs in Chinese was an opportunity to write to contribute songs to a soundtrack for a Chinese reality TV show.
Do you know what it was about?
Yeah, it was actually pretty cool. And they're doing a new version of it in China this year. It was actually one of the first reality shows that was meant for Asian American programming. And it was, the concept was this groups from different parts of China, like Taiwan, mainland China, Chinese Americans and Chinese Canadians all competed in this they're all competing in a race to find the answer to something. I can't remember what that's called, but and so it was just sort of this theme of like travel. It was a lot of journeying and travel for them, and they were competing against each other. And of course there's these age-old themes of antagonism between some of these cultures that were represented in the team, and they were traveling through the United States in a scavenger hunt to try to get to the end. And so anyway, for some reason I was mini-disced singing and playing in Chinese at a convention somewhere, and somebody sent it to his brother in Shanghai, who sent it to his friend in New York, and at a film company, and all of a sudden I get a call out of the blue that said, "Hey, we heard this really sort of crappy recording of you singing and playing in Chinese, and we want you to contribute some songs to our reality TV show." So that's when I started writing.
Right. Now, you have toured in China, too. With a group that you're with?
Actually, it was a group of friends that are sort of unrelated to my live show right now.
Yeah. So you toured there, and I understand the reaction. There were a lot of people who were expats from the West.
Yeah.
But some Chinese. But one challenge might be that a form of music that's popular in China may not be American banjo music, but heavy metal.
Okay, so like popular music in China, that's would be like they call hua jiao yao guan yue, and that's like hard pepper rock. And then another one's like that's a literal translation, but another would be like just plain old pop music, like singers that have backup bands. That's huge, you know. String music isn't huge necessarily, but I think maybe it's a facet of being a developing nation that there isn't a huge subculture of music. There's sort of like the pop cultural music, and then there's the folk music. And but definitely in the big cities of Beijing and Shanghai, that's starting to break out, and there's much more of a subculture movement going on with music. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of exciting. But I did actually have a large Chinese audience because I did an embassy tour, and we ended up playing in front of large universities of all Chinese students. So,
right. Do you plan to always have Chinese songs on your CDs?
If I can do anything about it, there will be. Yes.
Well, we have there is a song that we ought to hear here that's also on your CD that's called Eve Stole the Apple. This will be in English, so why don't we hear a little bit of that right now? Abigail Washburn. Abigail Washburn and Eve Stole the Apple, going back to the very beginning of some storytelling.
Yeah.
So do you prefer to write in English or in Chinese?
Oh, they access different parts of me, and they're both great parts. I'd rather not choose, I suppose.
And right now you don't have to?
Yeah, I guess not. Yeah.
Now, you also play with a band called Uncle Earl.
Uncle Earl. It's an all-female string band.
Right. Yeah. And do you tour with them all the time, or are you, when you're not going out on your own?
It's when I'm not on my own, I'm with Uncle Earl.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, what we'd like to do is we'll go out today with playing a little bit of Uncle Earl from one of your CDs there. Walking in My Sleep is what
Great.
We'll hear. But I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Abigail Washburn, and her latest CD is called Song of the Traveling Daughter. And let's hear some Uncle Earl, Walking in My Sleep. And for today, that's the state of things. If you have a comment about our show, you can drop us an email here at sot@wunc.org. Support for the state of things comes from listeners who support North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. Thanks for listening. I'm Melinda Pencava.